This is an invitation to spend 15 minutes with the Bible. This is the ninth program of this series. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher for the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is between McMinnville and Biola, just across from Mount Zion Road, and all are welcome to our assemblies. If you have your Bible, you might want to turn with me to Matthew chapter 16. And I want to look at verses 18 and 19. And here's what they say. In the middle of verse 18, Jesus says, "Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." We've been discussing this passage on Friday afternoons, and this is the passage where Peter made that great confession that thou art the Christ, confessing this to Jesus, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And we discussed how that truth is the rock upon which our Lord built his church. I want to call attention to the phrase in verse 18 today, where it says, "The gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Sometimes when that passage is read, people think, well, there's no way that the devil will ever be able to get rid of the Lord's church once he has built it. And that is true. In fact, we see that in the prophecies about the church. When Isaiah was talking about the coming of the Lord's kingdom, in Isaiah chapter 9, he said, "Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever." So that kingdom was not going to go away once it is established. Daniel said the same thing. In Daniel chapter 2 and verse 44, in interpreting Nebuchadnezzar's dream and talking about the days in the when that stone would roll down and hit the feet and grow until it consumed all the earth, he said, "In the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people. But it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever." So the truth that the devil will never be able to get rid of the Lord's church on this earth, that is secured in the scriptures, and we see that. But is that what Jesus meant when he said the gates of hell shall not prevail against it? In context, I want to suggest something else. Look at Matthew chapter 16 and verse 21. Just a few verses later, Jesus is going to say this. It says, "From that time forth began Jesus to show his disciples how he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day." When the King James Version translates the word for that realm of the dead called Hades, it uses that word hell. It also uses that word for the place of eternal torment. And reading that in the King James Version, it's easy to get the places confused, but every place in that realm of the dead is not a place of eternal torment. Where it says the gates of hell shall not prevail against it, in this passage of Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18, he's talking about Hades. The gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And Hades is simply the realm of the dead, not the place of eternal torment. So when it says the gates of hell shall not prevail against it, the gates of Hades, we might think of it this way, the bars of death. I often see gates with bars across them, and we think of death as being closed in by a gate or by bars that those that are there cannot escape, but not so with Christ. Even though he would die, they would crucify him and lay his dead body in a tomb and roll a stone over the door and post a guard. But that's not going to stop him from building his church. He is declared with power to be the Son of God by his resurrection from the dead, Romans 1 and verse 4. And that was Peter's confession, that he was the Son of God. So he would build his church, and even though he would go to the realm of the dead and be buried in that tomb and be killed and buried, that would not stop him from building his church, because he would rise from the dead and do it anyway. You know, this raises the question sometimes people want to know about church secession. And the idea is that, well, since the church is supposed to be on the earth forever, which it is, does that mean that we ought to be able to trace the church where we are all the way back through time and find it's a continuous flow of influence and men all the way back through history down to the day of Pentecost? And do we have to do that in order to know that we are a church of Christ? Well, that is not necessary. And one thing, I don't think you can do that in history. Now, you can find evidence here and there about the church that is existing, but it was what history calls the church is far different than what the Lord established. And oftentimes, you're finding about little groups that you just kind of hinted at through history. Now, I don't doubt that they were there, but it's not necessary to establish a line of succession all the way back to the day of Pentecost to be able to know that you can be in the Church of Christ today. There's a story told about a fellow that wanted to grow a Georgia watermelon. And how would he do that? Of course, Georgia watermelons, you think, well, they come from Georgia. Maybe you could go down to Georgia and plant a seed and then train that vine over the state line until you come up through the various counties in Tennessee and come up here to Warren County and then let the bud on that vine, as it's already gone from Georgia all the way into Warren County, Tennessee, and let a bud on that vine protect it and produce until it grew a Georgia watermelon, and there you would have one. You'd have a Georgia watermelon. And I guess if it were possible to do such a thing, then you could say, yes, you grew a Georgia watermelon in Tennessee. But there's another way to do it, and that is to go down to Georgia and find a Georgia watermelon and take the seed. And instead of planting the seed in Georgia, come plant the seed in Tennessee. The same seed will produce the same fruit. And that's how we can know that we can be a member of the Lord's church, even though we can't establish a line of succession all the way down through history, like a vine growing from Georgia into Tennessee. You don't have to establish that long line of history. Go back to Pentecost and find the seed. And the seed is the teaching. It's the gospel that was preached on the day of Pentecost. You look at 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 22. He says, seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. The word of God is the incorruptible seed. And he goes on and says in the next two verses, 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 24 and 25, for all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Do you want to be a member of the Church of Christ today the same way that those on the day of Pentecost became members of the Church of Christ? Well, you need to respond to the same gospel. That's the seed. That is what endures. And you respond to it the same way. That gospel seed planted into the devout hearts of those men on the day of Pentecost produced Christians. And God added them to His church. And that same seed planted in your devout heart will produce the same thing. And God will add you to His church. So it isn't necessary to establish that long line of succession. Now, I want to notice what He says next, and we might have time to complete this, where Jesus says, I'll give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. When we're talking about the keys to the kingdom, He said, I'll build my church and give to you the keys to the kingdom. Now, in this passage, the church is the kingdom, and the kingdom is the church. You can tell that by the context. If I were to say, I'm going to go buy a Mustang, well, what would I be talking about? There's a horse that's called a Mustang, and there's a car that's called a Mustang. But if I were to say this, I'm going to go buy a Mustang and give you the keys to the car, then you would know what the Mustang was. I would be talking about an automobile. I'd be talking about a car. You don't need the keys for a horse. And so by context, you can tell that the church is the kingdom. I'm going to build my church and give you the keys to the kingdom. Now, I know the kingdom does not always refer to the church. Sometime when the word kingdom is used in the Bible, it's referring to the kingdom of men. Sometimes when it's used in the Bible, it's referring to a general rule of God. And there's a sense in which God has always ruled. Sometimes when we're talking about the kingdom, we're talking about that kingdom that is the heavenly kingdom, that eternal kingdom in heaven. Peter was in the kingdom of heaven on this earth. But in 2 Peter chapter 1 in verse 11, he talked about being faithful so that we would have an entrance into the everlasting kingdom. And Paul in 2 Timothy 4 and verse 18 talked about being preserved unto the heavenly kingdom. Now, he was already a citizen of the kingdom of heaven on the earth, but he was going to be preserved into a heavenly kingdom. Jesus, in Matthew chapter 8 and verse 11, talked about being able to sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. Now, we know Abraham and Isaac and Jacob were not baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of their sins and were never added to the church. And yet, in the end of all things, when Jesus delivers the kingdom up to the Father, there's going to be this everlasting heavenly kingdom that we can all be part of. Now, we understand that. So every time the Bible mentions the word kingdom, it's not necessarily talking about the church, but sometimes it is. We read in this very chapter, in Matthew 16 and verse 28, Jesus says, Verily I say unto you, there shall be some standing here which shall not taste of death until they see the Son of Man coming in His kingdom. Well, those that were standing there saw the Son of Man coming in His church. And so in this chapter and in this context, when He's talking about the kingdom, He is talking about the church. This has been 15 Minutes with the Bible. I am Bill Boyd. You may email or text me at wmhboyd@aol.com. Yes, you can text me at that email address. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.